Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of my podcast. This is Jeff Holton, and you came from my site, jeffreyholton.com, a pastor in transformation. I want to welcome you to today's podcast. Today we're going to continue on in our study on Acts, looking forward to sharing some thoughts with you as we talk about happiness and where and how is true happiness found. We're getting a little closer to the Christmas season, and at the time of this recording, we are about 2 weeks away from Christmas, and I hope that all is going well for you and your endeavors of planning for Christmas and everything, but I truly hope that you are keeping Christ in your Christmas and that you are able to celebrate and worship with Him. Today, we're going to just jump into Acts because I have a little bit more that I want to read because we're going to look at chapter 3 in Acts. And I'm going to begin by just reading the first 10 verses of chapter 3, and we'll talk a little bit about that and go through. And just pray that God speaks to you today as He spoke to me when I was putting this all together. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as John did, and said, "Look at us." And he fixes his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, before I get into talking about this passage, I just want to ask the question, have you ever wished that you would win the lottery? Maybe you believe that if you could only win the lottery, all of your troubles would be gone. Now, I'm sure some have thought this, and maybe you even believe it. But is really winning the lottery all it's cracked up to be? Is money really capable of making us happy? A number of years ago, I read an MSN article, and it was talking about a man, a few people actually might talk about, but this one in particular is a man named William Bud Post. He won $16.2 million in the Pennsylvania lottery in 1988. And at the time of the writing of this article, he lives on Social Security. He said, "I wish it never happened. It was a total nightmare," says Post. A former girlfriend successfully sued him for a share of his winnings. It wasn't his only lawsuit. His brother was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill him, hoping to inherit a share of the winnings. Other siblings pestered him until he agreed to invest in a car business and a restaurant in Sarasota, Florida. These were two adventures that brought no money back and further strained his relationship with his siblings. Post even spent some time in jail for firing a gun over the head of a bill collector. Within a year, he was $1 million in debt. Post admitted he was both careless and foolish, trying to please his family. He eventually declared bankruptcy, and at the time of the writing was living quietly on $450 a month in food stamps. He says, "I'm tired. I'm over 65 years old, and I just had a serious operation for a heart aneurysm. Lotteries don't mean anything to me," says Post. Well, you may say, "Well, this isn't always the case. This person just wasn't smart with his money." Let's look at Willie Hertz of Lansing, Michigan. He won $3.1 million in 1989. 2 years later, was broke and charged with murder. His lawyer says, Hurt spent his fortune on a divorce and on crack cocaine. Charles Riddle of Belleville, Michigan, won $1 million in 1975. Afterward, he got divorced, faced several lawsuits, and was indicted for selling cocaine. If that's not enough, Janet Lee won $18 million in 1993. Lee was generous to a variety of causes, giving to politics, education, and the community. But according to published reports, 8 years after winning, Lee had filed for bankruptcy with only $700 left in two bank accounts and no cash on hand. Money. It can be a blessing and it can be a curse. And I'm sure the crippled man in our passage today would have been one who would agree more than any of us that money does not bring happiness. As we just read in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, we met this crippled beggar. We don't know the name of this individual, but we do know that he was crippled from birth. And he daily would sit at the temple gate called Beautiful, and he would ask or beg for money. And according to author R. Kent Hughes, his begging post was one of the prime spots in the entire city because of its location. It was a perfect place to solicit funds. He continues to write that Judaism considered almsgiving a meritorious art. So the man's position at Israel's religious center would have profited him well. For this crippled beggar, this was just a regular day. But once about 3 o'clock in the afternoon came around, his life was forever changed. The Apostle Peter and John both approached this man. As this beggar was looking at them, Peter tells them, "I have no silver, I have no gold." And upon hearing these words, I'm sure that the beggar was like, I don't want to hear from you guys. And just, he didn't want to hear these words. But the apostle continues, "But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And at this point, the physician, Luke, the author, describes in detail the miraculous event that takes place as this man is completely restored to health. Luke writes that he jumped to his feet and he began to walk. At that very moment, he did something he has never done before in his life. He began to walk on his own. He then began to run and jump and praise God for this miracle. I mean, who wouldn't? He was healed. And when the onlookers saw what was happening, they were all amazed. Now, I would say that this crippled man got more than he bargained for on this day. You know, it started out as a regular day where the man was hoping for some spare change, a little bit of cash so that he could buy some food, maybe pay rent, whatever that may be. But instead, he ends up being healed of a lifelong handicap. And this brings up, really for me, the topic of happiness. Where do you find true happiness? Now, I can safely say that happiness does not come from stuff. It doesn't come from things like money, power, or status. It may bring some joy for a moment, but I don't believe that that's what brings true happiness. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe my happiness comes from Him. And I believe if we were able to transport back 2,000 years and interview this crippled beggar and would ask him, "What makes you happy?" Do you think that he would have said, "Well, you know, on the day that I met Peter and John, all I wanted was some money, but instead they healed me of this handicap. I really wish those guys would have just given me some spare change." I doubt that's what we would hear. You know, at this point in this man's life, I believe he could have cared less about money. What he found on this day was far greater than a few coins of silver and gold. And that makes me think, is that true for me today? Do I tend to find happiness in things like money or status? Or is there some sort of void in my life that will only be satisfied through Jesus Christ alone? And I believe that money, power, status, all of those things can, like I said a moment ago, bring a little bit of joy for the moment, but it doesn't fill that void. And that void can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Nothing can bring true peace and joy to our lives than a life devoted to Jesus Christ. So that's something for you to think about before we continue. I want to make sure that if you're listening to this and you hear this message, that you will understand that happiness comes from Jesus. And the only way that you can find true happiness is through a relationship with Him. And this kind of brings us into the second part of the passage where Peter continues, and he preaches his second sermon since Pentecost. And we're going to pick up at verse 11 and go to verse 26. It says, "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus Christ has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" You see, as the onlookers were amazed at the miracle that the apostles performed, Peter responds to the people's amazement by taking the focus off himself and stressed the importance of relationship with Jesus Christ, because he was the one that was responsible for the miracle. Peter did what all good leaders, pastors, teachers do. He took the spotlight off of himself and he put the spotlight on Jesus. This Jesus was also the same person who had died on the cross for the sins of the world and was raised again by the power of God. And Peter spoke about Jesus, who was both the Son of God and fully man. He was the Messiah spoken of in prophecy. And just as Peter told the onlookers about Jesus, I believe it is important for us to understand that this truth still applies to us today. You see, Jesus hasn't changed. He is both man and God, and he gave his life for you so you would not have to face the penalties of death. He died and he rose from the dead to show that he had indeed conquered death for our benefit. Without Jesus, we don't have Christianity. And to be a Christian, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. In this sermon, Peter addresses the issue of sin. According to Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. And this is something that we cannot change. Sin is a disease we are all born with. But if you read on in verse 24 of the same chapter, it says, "And we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." We are sinners by birth, but we are declared righteous by Jesus to all of us who believe and put our faith and trust in him. Sin is a big issue, and we must all deal with our sins. And this is the first part of being a Christian. James Montgomery Boyce writes, "We need to realize that we are all to blame for the death of Christ in one way or another. Even though we were not there at the time, Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified. It was our sin that took him there. But we are not forever condemned. This is the good news. Peter talks about repentance. We may be guilty of sin, but we also know that God will always forgive us of our sins if we repent and cling to Jesus, who is our refuge from sin. Now, repentance is more than just feeling sorry for what you did. Sorrow is not repentance. A teacher in Bible college once told me that repentance is feeling sorry enough to quit what you are doing and turning back on it and turning to Jesus. Peter makes it clear that we all need to repent and turn to God. Repenting and turning to God go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. Now, Peter's sermon also talks about forgiveness. Because of our past sins, most of us live lives carrying a heavy load of guilt. We get stuck in the past. We may start thinking that what we did in the past could never be forgiven by anyone, especially a holy God. And the fact is just the opposite. In the world that we live in, people may never forgive us when we wrong them. Some people may withhold forgiveness from you. But this is not who God is. God will always forgive if we repent and we ask for forgiveness. Only God is capable of forgiving sins, and He will forgive willingly if we confess, repent, and seek forgiveness. We may continue to live our lives in guilt, but God wants us to be free from the guilt of our past sins. The psalmist writes in Psalm 103:12 that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God has forgiven you of your sins. And it's time, if you are allowing guilt to rule your life, it's time to start allowing yourself to be forgiven, because God has forgiven you. Peter's sermon was the gospel message. Confessing, repenting, and seeking forgiveness in Jesus Christ is the way to find true happiness. Putting our faith in Jesus Christ as a result of this is how we can truly live happy lives. So often we go looking for ways to make ourselves happy. So often we tell God what would make us happy. Like, maybe if you would give me a little more money, give me a new job, give me a new car, give me some understanding parents, give me a bigger house. It's all about give me something and I will be happy. But God knows that these things will not bring happiness. We may think that silver and gold will make us happy, but when we see that God has far greater things in store for us, and these things are exceedingly more valuable than anything we could ever imagine. Eternal life. A life in Jesus Christ. These things exceed silver and gold, hands down, every time. So today, if you're listening to this by chance and you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, would you consider it? Maybe you feel a tugging at your heart and this is telling you that it's time to stop clinging to the sin in your life, the stuff that you have, and maybe it's time to turn it all over to Jesus. Jesus wants you to repent, and He is eager to forgive of your sins. He wants you to enter into relationship with Him and to forever submit your life to Him and to live in obedience to Him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe this has been an encouraging message to say that, you know what, these things in my life that I'm pursuing will never bring happiness, that if I just cling to Jesus, I will know true happiness. If that's how you have responded to this message today, then praise God. But if you're somebody that just maybe stumbled on this podcast and you've actually made it this far into the message and you realize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I really pray and hope that you will respond to Him today and enter into a relationship with Him through repenting and confessing and seeking forgiveness and putting your faith in Jesus Christ today. Well, that's all we have for today. And until the next time we get together, I pray that God blesses you, that His face shines upon you, that you will just live a life for Him that brings true happiness and joy and peace.